Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast. Bryce Diamond, Wednesday afternoon, post-game against the Chicago Bulls. Originally, I was not going to do a post-game for the preseason, really. I think I did one for the Kings game, but there was like some bigger conversations there. Was not going to do one after this Chicago Bulls game. But the difference with this Chicago Bulls game is that I got to watch the entirety of it. Bit of a surprise that I did get to watch all of the game, but I did. And I thought, you know what? I'll hop on the pod and do a little recording. So here I am. Hope you are well wherever you are at. This game last night was sloppy. It was herky-jerky. It was a preseason game, like kind of that classic preseason game. Both teams had pretty significant players not available. Jakob Poeltl for the Raptors is still trying to get over a sickness, just like myself today, actually. I did not go to work. I was unable to. I basically was on the couch for the last 24 hours. But yeah, Jakob Poeltl did not even travel with the Bulls. To play the Bulls in Chicago. So hopefully he's feeling better in the next few days, and we can see him back in action. Christian Coloco continues to be out, and Otto Porter Jr., of course, is slowly getting back into game mode, but still has a few steps and tests to pass before he's able to play from the medical staff, gets clearance. And, of course, Precious Achiuwa was out. So four guys out of the lineup, I would say four of our top 11 players on this team. So that's pretty significant. On the Bulls side, Alex Caruso was not available for this game. I didn't read the injury report to see what exactly had hindered him from being able to play. But Patrick Beverley was also out. So some pretty important bigs for the Raps and two important guards for the Bulls. I think overall, knowing this was a home game for the Bulls, it probably all weighed out pretty even. But you could tell fairly early on that both teams were missing their guys. Defensively, Chicago did not look as sharp, did not look as bouncy as you would normally see them. On the offensive side, without Alex Caruso, that gave them one less point guard, floor general. I wouldn't say that Alex Caruso is some, you know, playmaking savant, but he's solid. He does a number of good things on the offensive end. Obviously, defensively, he's excellent. Top 25 defender in the league. You could tell with more pressure being put on DeMar and Zach LaVine, it was tricky. It was tricky. Coby White started the game, and he doesn't have, at this point in his game, like, a high vision, high IQ point guard style. He's very athletic. He can get his shot. He can get to the rim. But I think it was a stretch for him last night to be that playmaking point guard. And probably if there's one thing that this team's missing, it's an elite point guard. Obviously, if Lonzo Ball was healthy, this team would have that guy. And then Caruso would be the backup point guard. It'd be great. But they find themselves in a tricky spot. And I think it's probably going to affect, unfortunately, the season, which it did last year. And I think it's safe to say that it will affect their short-term future, because I would imagine that not all the starters will be around come the trade deadline. We'll see. We'll see. OG Anunoby looked like he had had a long night the night before. I'm not going to say, speculate what kind of activities he's up to, but he just did not look strong in this game. Hopefully, health-wise, he did not catch what Jakob Poeltl has. But the whole game, he looked just not himself and a step slow in many aspects of the game. So that did not help the Raptors at all at the start of this ball game. Pascal Siakam, like he did against the Kings, was just kind of slow to get into the game. Schroeder, solid start. Gary Trent Jr., Malachi Flynn, again, playing the role of the bench backcourt. They looked solid in that second quarter. Malachi Flynn did not hit one shot, and it began to pile up in the second half, and which was too bad because they really could have put the Chicago Bulls team away had Malachi Flynn been good. But his distribution, his navigating the pick and roll and the floor in general, I thought was pretty good. And for the most part, his seven shots that he took and missed, I would say five of them were really good looks. He just didn't knock them down. Gary Trent Jr., I'll tell you, this guy is looking good. And what's great to see is his willingness and his effectiveness with the pass. It's not perfect. He's not a point guard. He never will be. But they're asking him to do more things with that second unit from a playmaking standpoint that I really think is coming along. Obviously, he's still a young guy, and he can develop this aspect of his game more. But with his shooting already quite good, if he can continue to develop that playmaking, it's going to make him a constant threat on the floor, especially when he has the ball. So that was a real surprise for me, having not seen the previous two games, just seeing highlights, to be able to watch Gary operate with his pass was actually quite positive. I would say it brought some hope to the depth of this team. And again, him and Malachi played very well in the second quarter. They struggled later in the game when they were together, but in that second quarter, they got back into it. They went on a run. They took the lead after being down 7 or 8 points in the first quarter, and much in part because of their tandem and their work together. This game, mostly from start to finish, at least from start to mid fourth quarter, was about Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes. They combined for 16 for 25 from the field. That's 64% from the field. Scottie hit a three as well as part of his offensive night, and Pascal hit two threes. I believe all the shots that Pascal missed were threes. So to go 2 for 5 from behind the arc and then to go 6 for 6 inside, that's a pretty effective night from Pascal Siakam. Scotty Barnes was relentless at getting to the glass, at playmaking, going to the hoop, and put a lot of pressure on a shorthanded defense that Chicago had. And he was – if he missed his initial shot, which happened twice last night, Scotty just was, again, relentless at putting back misses. And that was fantastic. There was one other time where he missed, he tipped it, and somebody else got it and put it in. I believe that was Chris Boucher. It might have been Chris Boucher's only basket of the night, although it could have been – it could have led to free throws. But Scotty was really good, really, really good last night. I thought overall he was our best player. Maybe not the most efficient, as he turned the ball over quite a few times. But that's going to happen with a young guy who's – you know, still growing into his body in a lot of ways. And I think that Scotty produced in all the areas on the offensive end. When you think about the ranginess that he had last night, including the three-pointer that he hit, when you think about him getting to the line, being able to playmake at you know, two levels, three levels of the offensive floor, and then being able to just bully some guys inside, and to have, you know, the great ability of seeing his teammates spraying passes around. I think it's safe to say that he was the most effective player. He also defensively was really good. And there have been a lot of games over the last last season, I'll say specifically, where I think he struggled. He was often put in the center position because Nick Nurse wanted to win as many games as they could. And he felt like Scotty was the best guy to play center. And it really affected his game, but it also affected his off-ball defense. And Scotty last night was a very good rim protector for the Raptors because he could help out. Didn't have to just play one-on-one against Vucevic. Unfortunately, Chris Boucher had that assignment for most of Vucevic's minutes. And Chris Boucher, of course, is not a center in this league. And he really got manhandled by Vucevic on the pick and roll. You know, Vucevic was great at sealing Boucher when he set up on the post. And, you know, he was definitely a big liability against Vucevic. So great to see, Boucher improve. Sorry, great to see Scotty Barnes play so well. And I think his overall effectiveness was very high. As I was talking about Chris Boucher missed a lot of easy ones. He missed some free throws. It was not his night, like OG. But you love the effort night in, night out. And knowing that Poeltl's not there, which would have been a huge would have been a huge part of their defense if Poeltl had been around. It also would have minimized a lot of easy post plays and pick and roll seals from Vucevic, because Poeltl's just as big and strong, and he's smart. And I don't think Vucevic would have been able to get to the block the same way, nor would he have been able to use his height as effectively on Poeltl as he did on Boucher. So really good from a Chicago perspective that Poeltl was out, but of course from a Raptors perspective, that hurt us throughout most of the game, actually. Anytime Vucevic is on, that was the Bulls' biggest advantage for sure. Outside of Vucevic, who played a very good game. The other guy who played well for Chicago was Zach LaVine. He had a little more bounce. He looked like he got rest. He looked like he put in the work in the offseason. And, you know, it's interesting. Without an elite point guard on this team and having DeMar and Zach, you know, I wonder if they're not better served, as much as I love DeMar DeRozan, if they're not better served the Bulls this year, if they can trade DeMar, knowing that he's on the last year of his contract, and get a really good point guard. Now, who's going to want him for that price? Because I believe DeMar makes $32 million a year. You know, that's something that they got to think about. But I'll tell you who's also on his last year of his contract, who's a great point guard, and probably can give you 25 good minutes in the regular season and not have to look for a shot, is Kyle Lowry. It would be hilarious if Chicago made that trade. For Miami, it would be brilliant. And certainly around the trade deadline, I could see something like that happening. You know, I'm sure that Chicago would rather have back Tyler Hero. But it, depending on where they are in the standings, Kyle Lowry might make a lot of sense. Who knows? We'll see. But yeah, when I saw DeMar on the floor, again, it's a preseason game. You can't take too much away from it. He looked methodical, but he looked slow in that methodology. and I think as I've seen them over the last 2 years, I feel like DeMar's game holds back Zach's. Especially because they don't have Lonzo Ball. If Lonzo Ball's on the floor, that's we're having a different discussion. And they probably win 7-8 more games last year and are battling Cleveland or New York Knicks rather than being in the play-in and having to face Jimmy in Miami. But without Lonzo Ball, having DeMar as one of the main ball handlers in the half-court offense slows things down. And Zach LaVine doesn't want to be a catch-and-shoot guy, nor should he be. He's getting paid way too much, and he's too good a scorer for that kind of situation. So I don't know. Some head-scratching. I'm sure that, you know, Chicago fans are thinking this way a lot. Some other critiques on Chicago specifically, because I was, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I was hearing the Dunker Spot, which is a great podcast. JJ Redick has partnered with them. Old Man the Three has partnered with the Dunker Spot. And Stephen Nikias are just really, really good at analyzing the game, breaking down the entire league, and looking at pros and cons and areas of improvement and all this kind of stuff. They also talk fluently in basketball terminology, but don't have to stay there. They can break the game down pretty well without using all the terminology, but definitely comes up. And that's important to break the language down, because you'll hear it on other podcasts. But one of the things they talked about on their preview of the Chicago Bulls season as they go through the league is that Patrick Williams has got to take another step. And Patrick Williams is an elite defender. I did not see that last night. I know he can shoot the ball. He was around 40% last year. I think most of that is because DeMar and Zach are getting him wide open. I would call him a poor man's OG Anunoby. I think there are some similarities, but I don't think his handle is very good at all. I don't think his cutting is particularly good. I don't know if that's an offensive problem, strategy issue from Billy Donovan, or if that's just Patrick Williams. But I would say when the Raptors play Chicago and Patrick Williams goes on Scottie or Pascal in particular, he's not as good as people make him out to be. When you've got strong, versatile players who are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", that should be in Patrick Williams' wheelhouse to defend. And unfortunately, it's not. You know, Patrick Williams' game against the Raptors. It was one area that I thought, you know, one critique I wanted to point out, because again, like we've seen in the NBA with guys like Matisse Thybul, we hear about how good a player is defensively, and against the Raptors, we just don't see it as much. Now, that doesn't mean that Patrick Williams isn't a good defender. That doesn't mean that Matisse Thybul is not a good defender. There's a difference between elite. There's a difference between one of the better defenders and a good defender. And Alex Caruso, to me, is among the elite defenders. If you're in the top 25 in the NBA, you are in that elite category. OG Anunoby is there. Patrick Williams is not, at least from what I've seen. I'd have to look at numbers and all the details to those numbers. But for me, last night he wasn't, and I haven't seen it when I've watched him play against the Raps or other teams. Chicago is an interesting team in that they do have a lot of depth like the Raptors, but like the Raptors, have a lot of similarities in where that depth is. You know, they don't have marksmen coming off their bench. Certainly Alex Caruso and Patrick Beverley don't give them that. They don't really have depth in the big category. They have Vucevic and then Andre Drummond. And listen, Andre Drummond was an effective player just because of his size and athleticism. This guy's terrible. So much so that on a fast break, uncontested dunk, the man misses. Almost got hitched, but just front rimmed the dunk. It was laughable. It was embarrassing for the Chicago bench. But they don't, like, if they had a Thomas Bryant type character, that would be way better than having Andre Drummond. And after Andre Drummond, you know, it's a lot of young guys who are in that bench. They used to have, from the center spot, they used to have Tony Bradley, which, you know, I wouldn't say Tony Bradley's a guy that you spend $15 million on. But, you know, I think Tony Bradley is an effective guy. I would say more effective than Andre Drummond from what I saw last night. Now, again, I realize it's a preseason game. I realize that, you know, a guy who's a veteran like Andre Drummond is still in first gear, but there's a lot of question marks around this team and where they have depth and where they don't. And I can't see Chicago personally, as I watched them last night, as I watched them last year without Lonzo Ball, I can't see this team getting close to 50 wins. I see this team more winning kind of that low 40s, maybe not even 40, because I think they're going to run into some problems in the second unit with their playmaking. I think they're going to come up against a number of young teams that want to get out and run a ton. and they're going to struggle over the course of 48 minutes with that. Listen, if they can keep the games close, then that's a whole different situation. But I think that, and the reason why I say that is because DeMar and Zach are great clutch players. Even Vucevic offensively is too. But you trade a lot of things with this team. And if you went with a Caruso, Beverly, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Vucevic lineup, I think there's going to be a lot of mismatches. And if you went with Patrick Williams, how good can he be offensively? You really need him to spot up in the corner. And that puts an awful lot of pressure on Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. And then who do you say you're on the bench to? Probably Patrick Beverly, because Caruso is going to give you a little more on the offensive end. So is that really a lineup that can get you into the playoffs? I personally don't see it. Obviously, they beat the Raptors in the play-in game, but, you know, the Raptors really crapped the bed, for lack of a better phrase. They were miserable in that second half. And I think the Raptors gave that game away more than Chicago took it over. As talented as a guy like Zach LaVine is, the Raptors imploded, and that seemed to be building all season long. And then, of course, Chicago loses to Miami in the second play-in game. This game last night, just to get back to the preseason game itself, you know, it was fun to see some of the guys down the bench that I know their names but haven't seen a lot of. I did get to see some highlights in the summer of Grady Dick's Summer League games. I did get to watch a half when he was in Summer League. I liked his game last night. I saw more last night from Grady Dick than I have before, outside of highlights. I thought he moves well without the ball. I thought, you know, he wasn't forcing his shot. Obviously, he's an effective shooter, and you know, Chicago is very aware of him. So that, to me, translates that they were emphasizing to stop him. So that was good. I really liked Friedman Liberty. I don't know if he's going to make this team or if he's going to be a 905 guy. When I watched Malachi Flynn play the entire game, and he's 0 for 7, and he started to get a little turnover prone at moments in the third quarter, where the Raptors just unraveled for about 5-6 minutes there, led by Malachi Flynn, where the game flipped from the Raptors leading by 8 or 9 to Chicago up by 3, actually by 5. You know, I was like, well, are they just giving minutes to Malachi to see how he can perform? Do they trust him, believe in him? Not that I don't see some improvements. I do. But when you think of Jeff Doughton Jr. being on the bench and then you watch Friedman Liberty play, you're like, well, you know, who's going to be the backup point guard? I don't think Marquise Noel is getting the keys. I think he's going to, as a rookie who didn't get drafted, I think he'll go on 905, and they'll see if he can play around big bodies. I don't think they believe that he's there yet, and that's okay. Either was Fred VanVleet in his first year. But Malachi Flynn's in his fourth year, and yeah, there's questions about that. I think Friedman Liberty last year, if I'm not mistaken, played for the Chicago Bulls Windy City G League team, and he was quite good. I don't know if he was their best player, but he was a top three player. So I'm curious about that as I watch him play. He's very slick with the ball in transition. He's aggressive with his, you know, going to the basket in transition. He's very effective. He has great vision. More of a direct kind of player in transition. And that certainly is better than – it's an upgrade from Malachi Flynn. I think Malachi probably operates better in the half court. And certainly Malachi was seeing better defenses because he was going up against the second unit, where Freedom Liberty was going against the third unit of the Bulls. But I just wonder about that. I think, you know, before the season tips off, I think we're going to see if, you know, I'll go through who I want to start, who I want to bench, and who I want to cut for this Raptors team. But I'm going to have to see one more game, the game against Washington on Friday, to see – you know, is Freedman Liberty, is he the better guy to have? Does he have that much skill? It's such a small sample size, but I was certainly asking questions last night. I feel like at some point things are going to click with Malachi Flynn. And as we've said on the pod in the past, Malachi had a really tough first season, being in that full COVID year, being in Tampa, not getting to play in the G League, which I think would have really helped him. And then, you know, getting really inconsistent minutes and being in Nick Nurse's bad books, really, after that. So we'll see. We'll see. I think it could be close between the three of them, but we're seeing a lot of Malachi Flynn, so I would just imagine that he's going to play. But I'll take one more look at this team on Friday night and give a better assessment on that. I'm rambling. I'm all over the place, probably partly due to sickness, partly due to this being a preseason game, and I wasn't as organized as I usually am, but yeah, I thought this wasn't a great game to watch for the Raptors or the Bulls. You saw some flashes of good through Scotty and Pascal, from Zach and Vooch. Gary, as I said, had a good quarter with Malachi. But overall, this was pretty bad basketball. And if you watched it, I think you'd probably say the same. So what can you do when it's the preseason? Hopefully this game against Washington's there's a little more intensity. I'd like to see there be a little more, a few less mistakes. I thought Schroeder was good, but wasn't consistent. One thing I do like about Schroeder, though, is his feistiness. And, you know, one of the things that Gary has in him, one of the things OG has in him, is that he can turn on a dime. If someone pisses him off or does something that is questionable, overly aggressive, Dennis Schroeder is not afraid to back down. And last night, Coby White gave him a shoulder bump that I thought, in the moment and then definitely on the replay, was something that should have been called a foul on Coby White for a push off. They did not call it. And then Schroeder on the Chicago's possession down the floor from that incident, pulled him and let him know, I ain't taking that. And I appreciate that, knowing who we've had as our point guards, tough guys like Fred and Kyle. And obviously their approach is different between the three of them, but I appreciate Schroeder's leadership in that way. Pascal isn't a guy that's going to stand up and take issue with those kind of things. Scotty, I think, in a different way will, but in general, he's not that kind of quick responding type. I don't think he's really an agitator either, whereas Schroeder is a pest defensively, and he won't take, you know, crap. And last night I thought Coby White was out of line, and he stood up and said, no, that's not what we're about here. So I appreciated that. I think it speaks to how he can lead the team and what type of mentality the Raptors have to have so that they don't get pushed around in any game. But to be on that edge, right? We've seen that in Jimmy Butler in certain circumstances, in many circumstances. And I like that from Dennis, personally. I think this team still has a long way to go. After watching the game last night, I still felt positive. Again, this is not a championship team, but I still felt pretty positive. And we'll see how that progresses through the preseason, but more importantly, the first couple months of the regular season. Be interested to know your thoughts on the game. Who stood out for you? What were some surprises? What were some positives from this team? And are there some concerns outside of brutal three-point shooting? They were 29%. I didn't mention that before. 29% from downtown. That's going to affect your ability, right? I think I counted 9 open looks last night that they missed. You hit 3 of those, the game's over, right? And we've said this in the past, but it's true. If this team can be around 35, 36% as a team from downtown, they're going to be a handful. And because they're getting those shots. And if people close out quick on them, they have all kinds of ability to get to the tin and make easy buckets at the basket because they've got the size. So that's one thing we're just praying for as Raptors fans. And again, last night we showed that we are a pretty weak three-point shooting team. But fingers crossed, guys, fingers crossed. Maybe with more intensity and more repetitions together, that will just happen. But until then, I think it's something we're scratching our heads about and not feeling too good about our playoff hopes, knowing how important the three-point shot needs to be. All right, y'all, I'm going to cut it off there. Thanks for listening. Put up prayers and thoughts for Jakob Poeltl and some of the other guys who were not able to play last night. But in the meantime, enjoy yourself this week and hopefully you can catch some of the highlights, if not the game, on Friday against Washington. Peace.